can be seated. And for those that have been here for a while, you know that last week we finished the book of James. We usually go through books of the Bible, but we're going to start a topical series. And something that in the 20 years of being a church have never done, and that is to this topical study is going to be as if we're speaking to the people that have been left behind after the rapture of the church. And because my hope is that, one, we'll put this on our YouTube channel on our website at calvarypo.org, and also to just make DVDs that you can send to friends on Christmas and say, you know, I know you don't want to listen to this now because you've told me you don't want to hear about Jesus, but just stick this in your safe or someplace in your cabinet, and if things happen someday like we think they will, that someday the people that believe and trust in Jesus disappear and you want to know why, then pull this out. Pull this DVD out and you can watch it. So we're going to be speaking about the rapture, which we're going to get into a lot later, but I just want to say that the rapture, you might not even know, what are you talking about the rapture? The rapture is based on some scriptures in the Bible, true believers in Jesus, in the biblical Jesus, a biblical believer in the biblical Jesus, that we're putting our total trust and faith in Him. It's not by any religious organization that we're saved. It's not by our works we're saved. It's by faith in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We believe that. We trust it. We know with assurance the day we die, we're going to be in the presence of Jesus. That the Bible teaches that there's a day where some people won't die. There's a day where God comes and people are taken off of this earth and they're raptured into the presence of God to forever be with God in the air. It will not include people that don't believe in the biblical Jesus. When we are gone, whenever that happens, there's debate about when, we're going to get into that, but whenever it happens, there's going to be some people that are left behind that they say they were Christians, but they weren't, because they weren't biblical Christians, or they didn't believe in the biblical Jesus. The Jesus that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father except by me. In fact, we had the Pope last week saying that fundamentalists of all persuasions are violent, and something should be done. Even if you're not physically violent, you're violent. I hope everybody here is a fundamentalist Christian, because a fundamentalist Christian means you're standing on the fundamentals of the faith and belief in Jesus Christ. That's what it means. Those are the ones that are going to get raptured, and the world's going to be glad we're gone for a little while, and that's okay. We're going to be glad to be gone too. We're going to be in the presence of Jesus. And it's going to be all right. So let's turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 17, because why are we doing this now? Many people have done it many, many years ago. I'm becoming increasingly convinced that even though I'm almost 60 years old, in October I will be, I think there's a chance that I could go in the rapture instead of go in a box. Or actually my body go in a box. I think there's a chance it could happen with the how rapidly the world is changing. And we see signs that are coming, and we've seen them for a long time, but the prophecies, we can't be into the last days of prophecy until everything the Bible says about those last days can happen, can literally happen. And for decades where people have been saying, oh, Jesus is coming back. When I first got saved in 1974, people were thinking it was imminent, last days were imminent. And I look back now at the people that were teaching me that, they shouldn't have taught me that. Because although they knew, barcodes are coming out, that could be used as the mark of the beast. At the time they were saying that, it was not possible for barcodes to database everybody on the planet Earth to control their economic system, which is what the Bible says is going to happen. It says the Antichrist is going to control the economy of the whole world and everybody's ability to buy or sell. Computers were just something the military had. It wasn't until the 80s we got personal computers, and everybody knows what's happened to computers in the last few decades. And now we know they can database everybody in the world. Now we know pretty soon, it's not perfectly set up yet, but pretty soon they will be able to control you're buying and selling, everybody on the face of the earth, buying and selling all over the world. Satellites are being sent up in the next couple years that are designed to be able to put a smartphone in every single soul's hand on this planet. And with that cell phone, with those smartphones, the ability to buy or sell, and then it would be so easy to morph the economic system over to that. So it's because the infrastructure, the spiritual infrastructure, the planet infrastructure for fulfilling the last days of the Bible, the last 7-year period of time, is on the horizon. We can see the capability is there. Well, let's say the capability was here right now. Does that mean it's going to happen immediately after that? No, it could be another decade or 2 decades before they use all this technology to totally enslave the world. But I think it's going to rapidly progress. I don't know. It's going to rapidly progress. When they have the technology, they'll use it. In fact, they're talking about using it to create global government, global finance, etc. So, is there a time precedent to go along with this? Yes, in Ezekiel chapter 12. In chapter 12, what happened then? Jeremiah had been prophesying along with Ezekiel. Jeremiah was in Jerusalem prophesying to the Jews, because of all of your sin and rebellion against God, the Babylonians are going to come and destroy us. They hated him for saying that. They mocked him for saying that for decades. They mocked him. Then the Babylonians came and they took some captives with them back to Babylon, Ezekiel being one of them. And Ezekiel was prophesying to the people in Babylon, you know, the Jews back in Jerusalem, it's not just a matter of we've been deported and the Jews are going to beat back the Babylonians and we're going to be going back. What God was telling Ezekiel to tell the people in Babylon that had been taken captive, Jerusalem's going to be destroyed. It's going to be completely wiped out. And the Jews are going to be wiped out except for a remnant, and they're going to be carried into captivity. And the people in Babylon didn't want to hear that. And Jeremiah was telling the people in Jerusalem the same thing. They didn't want to hear it. And there was false prophets that were saying, no, God's going to destroy the Babylonians. God would not possibly let the temple in Jerusalem be destroyed by these wicked pagan infidels. And so that was the lay of the land in Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 17. When God tells Ezekiel to say the following: "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, to Ezekiel, saying, 'Son of man, eat your bread with quaking, and drink your water with trembling and anxiety, and say to the people of the land, thus says the Lord God to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the land of Israel, they shall eat their bread with anxiety and drink their water with dread, so that her land may be emptied of all who are in it because of the violence, sin, of all those who dwell in it.'" So Ezekiel, again, is captive in Babylon, and God says, go outside and drink your water like you're in fear and trembling, and eat your meal. And what's with you, Ezekiel? Well, that's what's happening back in Jerusalem. They didn't have satellite TV to be able to show what's happening in Jerusalem. So Ezekiel is actually like their TV news about what's going on in Jerusalem. And he goes, because they're going to be quaking in Jerusalem. They're going to be destroyed. The prophecies of Jeremiah are going to come true, and there's going to be great judgment coming upon the people there because of their sin. Then, verse 20, the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall become desolate. And you shall know that I am the Lord. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, what is this proverb that you people have about the land of Israel, which says the days are prolonged and every vision fails? What were the people saying to Ezekiel? Yeah, you know, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, you guys have been saying this forever. And God is saying, what is it with the people saying this? Why are the people saying, you keep on saying judgment's coming. You keep on saying the tribulation period's coming. You keep on saying the Antichrist is going to come. You keep on saying all this stuff about the rapture and the coming of, and you just, it never happens. Well, this is, you know, much, they're mocking. They're mocking the prophecies of judgment coming to Israel and their day. Does that happen today? Do people mock today? In fact, Peter says, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, says the same thing is going to happen in the last days, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And see, the world has always mocked us for saying that Jesus is coming back and there's going to be judgment on the world. The world does it all the time. But what I'm seeing is the church has started to do it. the quote church, the quotation marks church. There's people all over this land that used to teach the coming of Jesus that have abandoned it. There's people all over the land that used to teach it and believe it that say they don't even believe it anymore. They tell their people anybody that's teaching about prophecy is actually no use to this planet, as they abandon the hope of the coming of Jesus Christ for good work projects here on earth. And I think there's a comparison. In Ezekiel's day, we're going to see what God says next. He basically says, I'm going to put an end to that. I'm going to put an end to that mockery of last day's prophecy not coming true. How is he going to put an end to it? By letting him see it. And I think that the last step before the judgment of God comes, because he spends so much time warning people, warning, 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 warning. And again, I became a Christian in 74. People were warning. You better get it right with Jesus. Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. And it affected me. It's like, I want to be ready when Jesus comes. I want to walk with him. I don't want to play around in the world. I don't want to do sin anymore. I'm now a servant of Jesus Christ. I want to disciple myself into the truth. I want to be able to tell people about the truth, to help them get to God when it's time. And that's what it did to me. Others I've seen doesn't have the same effect. And then when the church completely turns away, or a large part of the world just disdains this idea that Jesus is coming back, I think that's when God says, okay, I've warned them, and the whole world's disdaining it, just like in Ezekiel's day. So, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 23. Tell them, therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will lay this proverb to rest, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say to them, the days are at hand, and the fulfillment of every vision. Every vision in Ezekiel's day, and it happened, Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians. Every vision in our day. The day is going to come where everything God prophesied about the last 7-year period of history, which we're going to get into, what starts that last 7 years in our study today, that everything is going to happen. For no more shall there be any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel, for I am the Lord. I speak, and the word which I speak will come to pass. It will no more be postponed, for in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word and perform it, says the Lord God. He's saying no more is a false prophet going to be able to get up and say, Jerusalem is going to be thrived, the Babylonians are going to go away, God is going to give us victory over the world, Christianity is going to take over the world, and we're going to have great peace through the Christian church message in the world. No more is people going to be able to say that, because it's going to be obvious. It's a lie. And, you know, the people today that preach your better days are ahead of you, everything's fine, never address the sin in the nations, never address the sin in the world that's going on, that God is grieved about. They never mention it, never mention repentance, never mention the need for you to turn to God. And actually, again, since we're talking to a future people, a day that we're gone, or even as these DVDs become available, is you will see the world continuing to mock God until they won't be able to do it anymore. Because you'll be seen. You know, the people in the future are going to be, this is the wrath of God, just like the Bible said. It's coming on our own head. The Bible says that. It says that they hide themselves in caves because of the natural disasters coming on the planet, and they're hiding themselves from the wrath of the Lamb who sits on the throne. They know the Bible is coming true. And the same thing that happened in Ezekiel's day. Verse 26, again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, look, the house of Israel is saying the vision that he sees, that Ezekiel sees, is for many days from now. And he prophesies of times far off. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, none of my words will be postponed anymore, but the word which I speak will be done, says the Lord God. Now, I'm no Ezekiel. God hasn't told me, tell him it's like right now. But I'm just discerning the day that I don't think it's much further. Again, the ability for every biblical prophecy left to be fulfilled for the last days, it's not perfectly here, but we're getting close. The tribulation couldn't start today because the satellites aren't up there. Everybody doesn't have a smartphone. The police state is not fully implemented. We don't have the Antichrist on the scene yet. We don't have global government for the Antichrist. But we're getting closer to those days. And we're going to be covering those topics. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15:50. We'll get there in a minute, which is going to be the first verse we cover about what this, the Bible talking about the rapture, the day that people who are alive on planet Earth get changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We're going to disappear off of the planet. And some people that have studied biblical prophecy in the Bible, they say that over one-third of the Bible, when it was written, was prophecy. And so that's quite a bit. And God's interested in telling people what's going to happen before it happens. 95% of that one-third of the Bible has been fulfilled. There's still a 5% chunk left to happen. And that 5% of biblical prophecy really happens in a short period of time at the end. For those that are watching this DVD in the future, I want to date what today is. Today is the 29th of June, 2014. And what's the condition in the world? We don't have global government yet. But, in a short period of time, I think, because the world's trying to get there, there's going to be a global government of 10 nations of the world. We're not in global government yet, but there's chaos all over the world. We have, we supposedly had victory in Iraq, and now we have Islamic fundamentalists running around there. There's all kinds of debate about who made them. There's debate that even the American CIA made them in Jordan and all this stuff. It's so incredibly difficult to understand what's happening because there is a shadow government that is controlling the future of this planet. And they use fanaticism, they use finance and money to just manipulate and to control to their ends. The cool thing is they're not all powerful, they're not all knowing, and their plans don't always work out. But we know that everything that they are planning is ultimately getting to the point where it will fulfill the Word of God specifically and perfectly. And it's heading towards global government. But ISA is marching in Iraq, throwing, there's spears in many capitals. Jordan has called up their army. They're asking the Egyptians to send their army because there's fears that this is going to explode into a big, huge Middle Eastern war. I don't know if it's going to happen, but there is going to be a Middle Eastern war, which we'll cover in our study next week, which will be part two of this little DVD. And those unfulfilled biblical prophecies pertaining to the nation of Israel and its surrounding neighbors is going to lead the nation towards a global government, kingdom of the Antichrist situation. We can tell what's going to happen. And people, I've even had, there was a realtor came to my office here a few weeks, and he goes, what the world needs is just a global government to stop all this. But he had no idea what he was talking about. We just need to have a global government to put an end to this chaos. How many of you probably have talked in the workplace and people are just fed up? Are people in your workplace kind of fed up with this non-stop global conflict? That's what I've experienced in talking to people in the world. And so we can even see the attitude and the mindset of the people. Just, I'm willing to sacrifice the Constitution. I'm willing to sacrifice my nation state. If somehow we could end up with a global condition where we stop doing war. We shut down the military-industrial complex. And we stop doing this and wasting all these trillions of dollars. The day is going to come where that's going to be advertised by the Antichrist as what needs to be done to create a world utopia, and the world's going to go there according to the Bible. And we'll explain how next week. Also, what is the world doing today? It's putting together an unprecedented surveillance system. And I'm not even showing handouts because all you have to do, if you've been watching the news at all, you know what's happening. And if you doubt what I'm saying, just Google it. And they're controlling everything. This last week's news, again, is that every single smartphone that's ever been made is completely hackable to turn it into a bug in your hands, your car, everything that you're saying in your house. If they care about what you're saying, and they can even turn it on and just let it record. How many of you have the apps on your phone that you just speak into and it turns it into a text message that then you hit send? How many of you have that? Okay. That's voice recognition. So people say, how are they going to be able to listen to all of this? The NSA computers are listening to everybody's phone calls that they care about, and then it gets turned into a digital written out text that can be searched in a second. to find out, when did so-and-so say what about what? The police state is being formed. And the Bible, as we're going to see, it talks about, and actually, again, talking to the future people. The people in the future, they go, oh, yeah, we are in a police state. We can't do anything. We can't go anywhere. We can't purchase a single thing without Big Brother knowing what we're doing. Of course, well, I'm telling you right now, that's not here yet. But the Bible says it's coming. The Bible says there's a verse in Revelation that says the Antichrist, the man who rules the world will be saying, who can make war against this guy? And he's able to control everybody on the face of the planet with what they buy and sell and demand allegiance from them. Well, we're not there yet. People even still mock us a little bit for it, but the smart ones are sitting there going, but it actually could come true. The ones that just, you know, watch Oprah in the morning, they probably still think we're nuts and could never happen. The ones that want to be brain dead on, you know, and by the way, the TV, that it's all geared to just make us be asleep, just go to sleep, and not pay attention while they take over the world. And then tell us when the ones they allow to survive, how we do things. Global finance. Again, if you can't control, unless the world has a global financial system, multiple articles all over the place about, you know, the completely indebted financial system, you know, the fiat currencies of the yen, the euro, the dollar, unsustainable debt that is just being held up and propped up by extreme measures of printing money out of nothing that everybody knows cannot keep going, and someday it collapses. And they want it to collapse. Clevin Piven, two professors, said the way to collapse America and bring it into a socialist communist state is just overload the welfare system until under its own weight it financially disintegrates and the people will be left with nothing except becoming a socialist communist state. And people wonder why our borders are open and just thousands of kids are coming in and all the money, billions of dollars that have to be put in for that, 100 million Americans that are on some form of government support, which we can't handle, $1.6 trillion a year, $16 trillion total a while ago, $1,000 trillion of actually unsecured, unsupported debt in the country. We're on the edge. We're on the edge of losing a normal financial system in the world. And it's been taking a long time. People have been writing about this for a long time, but they've done extreme illegal measures to keep it from collapsing, but there's a day it's going to happen. I don't know when, but when it happens, the people have already written, we're going to then produce a new currency, and it's going to be a global currency, and it's going to prevent the rich and poor problem in the world because we're going to control where all the money goes. That hasn't happened yet. The people we're talking to in the future, they're already living under it. And in the church, people are abandoning the gospel of Jesus Christ, calling themselves Christians even though they're not. You know, they don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They don't believe that He's the only way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible said in the last days there's going to be great apostasy, turning away from the faith. People heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. I want to just listen to somebody that's going to make me feel good about the day. They won't tell me about all this negative stuff about global war and finances and all this other stuff that's so negative makes me go home and feel bad about myself. And yet it's the truth. And we're not doing these things to make us feel bad, but Ezekiel wasn't doing things to make his people feel bad. He was doing what God told him to do. And I'm doing what God told me to do. God told me to teach the whole counsel of God. And we shouldn't be, in fact, we covered James last week. We shouldn't be partying. In this state of the nation where thousands of young girls are being abducted into slave trade all over the country every week, and all the abortions that are going on, the drugs that are destroying people all over, the people turning away from God, they don't even know who Jesus is, starting to run into people that, when I say, they say, what are you doing? We're telling people about Jesus. Who's Jesus? I mean, how could that happen? When this is not a time to be partying, everything's wonderful, your better days are ahead. This is like, woe to us. Woe to us. for these things happening. So, again, whoever's watching this in the future, oh yeah, we have an apostate church that's still, you know, there is the apostate church, by the way, is going to be left behind. And I would imagine, and we're going to talk about this more later, but people are saying, what happened to those crazies? What happened to those Jesus only, or, you know, the Jesus is the only way to be saved people? Oh, you know, they left. The aliens had to take them to get reprogrammed. But, well, they said all Christians were going to be taken. Well, I'm a Christian. You know, I'm a Christian. I'm still here. So what do you mean? Talking to the people in the future, don't be deceived. Those weren't the real Christians. Those weren't the real biblical Christians who were believing in the biblical Jesus. They were the ones who were masquerading as wolves in sheep's clothing to deceive you, the masses, away from the truth. And so, again, you know, the Pope declaring me violent. What do you have to do with violent people, by the way? What does the world want to do with violent people? Lock them up? Yeah, isn't it? The day is coming. In fact, I want to back up here. The world might not have really seen the church just all of a sudden going. The church could, when the rapture occurs, be pretty much underground, in seclusion, in detention camps, FEMA camps for reprogramming, other places that people won't really notice. You know, people make all these movies about planes are going to crash, the pilots are gone, people driving down the road, the cars are gone. Maybe that won't be the case. And talking to the future people, if that wasn't the case, it's because the true Christians are being rounded up as violent because they believe in this Jesus, which causes conflict in the world because people don't want to hear that Jesus is the only way. And so they locked him up to bring world peace. And so they just disappeared somewhat incognito. They weren't obvious to everybody. But disappeared they did. And what's called the rapture that we're going to read about here in a minute. So, if all these things did happen, and I want to emphasize where we are today, so whoever watches this in the future and they say, yeah, everything he was saying, the Bible says is going to happen, and we're going to cover the text for these things in the ensuing, well, all that really did happen. I'm saying that because that means, whoever's listening in the future, you ought to take warning for the rest of what's going to happen in your life. And no matter what the Antichrist or anybody else is telling you to do, you better get on your knees and worship Jesus because it's too late for the rapture for you, but it's not too late for heaven for you if you get right with Jesus, even in the tribulation period. So, 1 Corinthians 15:50, this is about the rapture. And there's a lot of debate about the rapture, and we'll kind of factor in what I was going to lead in with here shortly. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now, this I say, this is Paul the Apostle writing to the Corinthian church about the resurrection chapter in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 15. This I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And even Jesus, when Lazarus was dead and in the tomb for 4 days, nearly 4 days, he said, Lazarus sleeps, and his own disciples said, well, Jesus, if he's sleeping, he's getting better. He's sick. He's getting better. And Jesus had to say, you don't understand. He's dead. So, but see, to Jesus, Lazarus isn't dead because his body was dead, but his soul was not dead because his soul believed in Jesus as his Savior. And so people, if you're a believer in the biblical believer in the biblical Jesus, you cannot die. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 10. You cannot die. People are going to look at your body and say he died or she died, but you didn't really die. Your body went to go sleep. Your soul went to go be with Jesus, according to Paul. That to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so, yeah, these bodies, they're just waiting for the day the body comes to join the soul at the resurrection. But we shall be changed. In a moment, verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So the dead bodies are going to be raised in an incorruptible, perfect body that will never decay away or get any disease to join the souls of those who died before us. And then what Paul says, and then we go too. See, we didn't die. So we don't die. And we, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed from this corruptible body into an incorruptible body, because this corruptible body can't be in a perfectly incorruptible heaven. So God is going to morph us. He's going to change us. And we will become, Jesus said, like the angels. We'll have a different body. And that's what other parts of chapter 15 says. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. There is no more death. We will forever be with Jesus. And it's going to happen someday, just bam, in a twinkling of an eye, God is going to call his church home. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. These are the two primary verses that explain the actual process of believers in Jesus being instantly translated into the presence of God. Did God ever instantly translate people into his presence in the past? Yes, he did it with Enoch in the Old Testament. Elijah wasn't so instantly. He did a chariot ride up into the presence of God. Being alive, never died, went up to go be with God. Is God capable of just instantly translating me off of this planet? Absolutely. People want to say, well, do your clothes stay behind? I don't know. What about our gold fillings? I don't know. And I don't care. But speaking to the people in the future, they're probably, you'll know. Hey, man, I got some gold out of this guy. I'm glad he had lots of denture care and, you know, whatever. We don't know these things, but we're going to be changed and gone in a moment. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, speaking to the Thessalonian church, that he'd spent a lot of time telling them about end days. Now, why is it that Paul, if he was, you know, he's close to God. You know, Rick Warren says we shouldn't be caring about prophecy. He twists the scripture to say that Jesus' statement on just before he ascended was Jesus telling us, I don't forget about prophecy. I don't want to get into the details of it, but why did Paul keep on telling people about end days prophecy 2,000 years ago? Because he wanted the people then, as now, to anticipate the day God calls us home. Because we're all going to go home one way or another in a short period of time. We're either going to die and go be with him as believers, or the rapture is going to come. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that the teachers in the 70s and whatever were anticipating the imminency of it, because it so gripped me, I started right away. I don't want to be playing in the world when Jesus comes back. And you know what? If I'm old and gray, my teeth are falling out, and I can't walk anymore, I'm 90-some years old, you're still going to hear me say Jesus could be coming back, and I've lived my whole life knowing that Jesus could come back, because at any moment, Jesus could have come back for me. I could have died at any moment. And I don't want to be found messing around when he comes. So, it says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Again, the people that have died, who were anticipating, wow, Paul, what's going to happen to the people that died? They're missing the return of Jesus. People were even then thinking, maybe Jesus is going to come back. Lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So when Jesus comes, now this is what's important, comes when? Some people that don't believe in a pre-trib, what we're going to call pre-trib rapture, they say this is clear, that when is Jesus coming with people? It's at the second coming, when he comes to reign on earth, when he comes to set up his kingdom on earth. And they'll say, see, this isn't a rapture verse. This is Paul saying that if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. That he's bringing the people that have died in the past. I agree with him, with the detractors, that say that Jesus is coming with other people that have died before us when he comes to get us. Because what did Paul say? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If I die before the rapture happens, I'm going to go be with Jesus. And Jesus isn't going to say, okay, guys, I'll be back in a few minutes. I got to go rapture the church. What am I going to say? No, Jesus, I want to go with you. I'm with you. Wherever you go, there I go. And again, he's coming. So in other words, what Paul is saying, the people that die before us, they don't lose out in any way. They're going to be with Jesus. They're coming with him. But here's the key to the timing of this. For verse 15, for this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep, who have died before us. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The bodies of those people who have died already will physically go join their spirits in a resurrected, incorruptible, perfect body for the rest of eternity. They're going to rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. And that Greek word is harpazo, which the Latin is raptus, which is where we get rapture. People say, the Bible doesn't say rapture. The rapture was concocted by Darby and Schofield back at the turn of the last century, and the early fathers didn't believe it, blah, 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 blah. That they're wrong. Because this is saying they're going to be caught up. We're going to be caught up to go be with Jesus. It's okay. We could say harpazo. The translators could have said shall be harpazoed. And we'd say, are you ready for the harpazo? It's the same thing, rapture. It's just a word. But the concept is there in the Greek, that we're instantly taken away. We're snatched by God. Together, now this is so important. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Who's them? Jesus and the saints who have died before us. In the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, here's the important part. This section of Scripture says we go to meet Jesus in the air, and then we go be with Jesus. There's other verses that says that Jesus is coming down to earth to set up his kingdom. He's not coming to earth to set up his kingdom here. He's coming down to earth to say, come up hither. And snatch us out to be with him, then we go be with him. And then it says later on in Zechariah 14, Jude 14, 15, Revelation 19, could rattle off a whole bunch of other scriptures. Then Jesus comes with all of us, pre-dead, you know, rapture, those before the rapture dead, the rapture translated, comes back with all of us to earth to set up his kingdom. But we're still always there with Jesus as he sets up his earthly kingdom over earth dwellers for 1,000 years before the final heaven and earth is created. And we will get into that sometime too. So people that want to twist this to not be rapture, I contend this is still just as applicable as a rapture verse, because we're caught away to be with him in the air. And it's important to make the distinction where one account is to the air and the other one is to earth. In the same way, it was important for the first coming of Jesus to realize when they studied the scripture, they could have read Isaiah 53. Oh, the Messiah, he suffers, dies, beaten, stricken. On our behalf, the sins of the world are placed on him, and it pleased the Father that he was bruised for our iniquity and he died for us. And Psalm 22, his hands and his feet will be pierced. He'll be mocked and scorned and they'll divide his garments. In Zechariah chapter 12, they will look, the Jews, and when Jesus sets up his kingdom, the Jews will look on him whom they have speared, who they have pierced. But then there's these other verses, like we just covered Zechariah 8 in our Wednesday night study. Chapter 8 of Zechariah is all about Jesus setting up his kingdom here on earth. And so then if I was an Old Testament person, I'd have been saying, wait, he dies, he suffers, he's pierced. Oh, but over here, he reigns, he destroys the enemies of Israel, he sets up his kingdom, he rules. So if you were a nice little Jewish student sitting in a prophecy conference at the time and you hear the people debating about, well, you know, is it rapture pre or post or this? Well, there's these verses that say the cloud, he just comes to the clouds and we meet him, and then there's these verses that say he comes down. Well, maybe they're not the same one. Maybe that's not the same event. There's two more comings of Jesus. Just like what the rabbi students could have said in the Old Testament is, well, it's obvious. The Messiah has to come and die, and then somehow he must come alive again because he has to fulfill all these other prophecies about how he's going to come and rule and reign. That's what they should have been able to say. But how many got it? How many people figured that out? Because not really anybody. Even John the Baptist. He studied in the Qumran community. The Qumran community, the best we can tell, were a bunch of really prophecy nuts that decided to go out into the desert, made themselves a library, trying to figure out all these prophecies. John the Baptist, there's significant evidence that John the Baptist spent some time studying under them. He knew that the Messiah had to come because of Daniel. And then when he gets arrested, and there's talk of him losing his head probably, he goes, Jesus, are you sure? Are you sure you're the one? Because I thought I understood it, but you're supposed to set up your kingdom, right? I think even John the Baptist didn't fully understand that Jesus had to die, because he rebuked his apostles on the road to Emmaus on the day he had resurrected and said, don't you know, didn't you read all the scriptures that say that he must suffer first before he sets up his kingdom? So I want to say to you today, and again in the future, for the people in the future, if we're wrong about this, if I have misunderstood the Bible, which is quite possible, then I'm still there with you. Forget the DVD. I'm able to talk to you, and as long as you bail me out of a FEMA camp, I'll do a Bible study for you. Or wherever I'm arrested, wherever Christians are being arrested, incarcerated, because we're still here worrying about the end times and the plagues that God is sending on the earth as part of his wrath and everything that we'll talk about. But if we're right, we're gone when the tribulation starts, which we're about to get into. So let's... I'm skipping over some other stuff here. Revelation 3:7, the Philadelphian church, they're told by God that he's going, and the Philadelphian church existed in the times of John the Apostle, but it's also symbolic of a future last days church that holds on to the truth of God's salvation plan, to the Word. And because they do not depart from the Word, God says, I will keep you from entering into the time of tribulation that's to test the whole world. I think that's a promise to us that we're not going to have to go into what's called the capital T last year, 7 year tribulation period. So, if we're right, there's going to be a day that we get raptured. And it could happen today. According to people that follow this way of thinking in the Bible, it could have happened any day in all of history. But it has to happen, by our view, it has to happen before the tribulation starts, and that is when there's a global government, a global ruler, and he's enforcing a covenant between Israel and other nations for a 7 year period of time. That's when we have to be gone. We'll explain that in a minute. But it could happen before that. So I want to say to us, the church, we could experience all the traumas of the world going into global government, of the world going into global finance, of the world going into global religion. We could experience all that because all that could happen before the Antichrist enforces this covenant for 1 7-year period of time. But what I'd like to do is to give a 1 minute video to just emphasize the point. It could start, it could happen at any time, and everybody here, I hope, should and will be ready for that event. So we're going to kill the can lights. We can't kill the halogen lights because they take too long to come back on, and we're going to show this video.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
Makes the point kind of strong, doesn't it? Which would you rather be? That's what we just read the Bible teaches. Someday, in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, people get translated. If we're off on the timing, and who cares, someday the true believers in Jesus are going to be gone. There's going to be people in church that thought that they were there, but they were really there to chase some girlfriend or for boyfriend or whatever else. They had some other motivation. And I fear they're going to be just like those kids that were sitting there bowing their knee, saying, "What have I done?" Because they heard it. They heard it from their pastor, but they ignored it. Oh, yeah, nutcase talks about the rapture. I only really care about good donuts before church or whatever else. You don't want to be left behind. And again, if we're right, the people watching this DVD, you're going to say, yeah, that happened. Maybe they didn't get to see it in the church. Maybe it wasn't a whole bunch of cars. But again, there will be a global testimony of something happened. We found clothes. If they do leave the clothes behind, probably do. We called and people said, "We don't know. He was just here in this room." And the next second they were gone. And there's no doors were open. And there's going to be those kind of testimonies all over the world because true believers in Jesus Christ were translated off of this planet. And I pray that all of you will be there when it happens. And I think we're going to cover Daniel chapter 9 starting in verse 23 next week because it's so important. And I want to just tell you this as an emphasis. We don't know when, but something happens according to the prophecies of Daniel that restarts a stopwatch that has been stopped for almost 2,000 years. God gave Daniel a miraculous prophecy. Daniel was just, "God, I want to know the future. I want to know the timing. You've told me all these things about the Jewish people. You've told me about the city and the great cataclysms and the upheavals of governments that are going to be happening. Tell me more." And when he's petitioning God, Daniel alone in the Bible, is given a miraculous stopwatch. And he is told, "Okay, Daniel, there's going to be 490 years. It's actually 77s, 70 weeks, 77s actually in the Hebrew. It's going to be 77s of time. And from the time the commandment goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem after the Babylonians destroyed it until the Messiah comes, it's going to be 69 of those 77s of years, 483 years. And then Messiah is going to be cut off. And the word used there, karat in the Hebrew, is the sacrificial death. He's going to be cut off. Not for himself, but he's going to be cut off. And then Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. The Jews are going to be, a flood of troops are going to spread the Jews out again. And Daniel must have been thinking, again? The Jews have to be destroyed again? The city has to be destroyed and the temple destroyed again? All fulfilled. And then Daniel is told, and then there's going to be this prince who comes who's going to make this covenant a 1 week, that last 70th week of Daniel, that last 7 year period of time where I am going to work with your people, Israel, Daniel, and the city of Jerusalem. I have history, 490 years of the Jews, working with the Jews and working with the city of Jerusalem. Then I'm going to stop it at the rejection of the Messiah and the destruction of Jerusalem. And I'm going to start that stopwatch again when this Antichrist makes a covenant with Israel and many nations. A 7 year period of time called the 70th week of Daniel. And in between there has been this church, the time of the church, where he's working with us right now. And see, the most profound scripture about the timing of the rapture to me is this section of scripture because God has always wanted his witness people to be on the earth. And for thousands of years, it was the Jews. Then he stops. He lets Jew and Gentile believer in Jesus be his witness people. He takes us off, and he starts using the Jews again to let them be the witness people. And for the last 7 years, people who believe that we're here till the end of the tribulation period, and we have to scare down the Antichrist, hunting us down and making the mark of the beast and all that stuff, which is fine. If I'm here, I don't care. The dead's dead. I'll tell them, are you going to take the mark of the beast? No. Are you going to bow and worship his image? No. Well, then we're going to kill you. Okay. I thought I was going to go in the rapture, but you can lop my head off. I don't care. You've been lopping heads off of the people all over the... It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter, except for the concept of God. The church is the church staying here on this planet while God is now dealing with the Jews and his city Jerusalem and all the prophecies of Revelation and even all of the discourses of Matthew 13, Luke 21, Matthew 24 are all primarily Jewish and speaking to the Jewish. It's almost like if I was still here on the planet, God, why didn't you tell me by the prophets what you're doing? And he's saying, don't worry about it, Kevin. I've taken you away. I've taken my witness church away and I've let my Jews start being my witness people again in various different ways that we'll explain. And that, again, the future people will fully understand because they will be living it. And so, with that, I hope... let me ask you, if you're not part of the biblical Christian, believing in the biblical Jesus, why not? Is it because there's something in this world that's too valuable? I hope you look around a little bit and realize that everything about this world is like sand. It's like holding sand in your hand. It's just going through your fingers. And we haven't seen anything yet for how the world is about to change. You might as well get on the rock, Jesus Christ. Build your house on the rock, Jesus said, instead of your house on the sand. Because when the storms of life come, you'll still be there. You'll be there serving Jesus, loving him, and have a hope of everlasting life. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And I hope you're all going to be there. My goal personally has been for 20 years is should that event happen and the rapture comes, there's not a chair here that has somebody left behind. Because I pray you would all come to a saving faith in Jesus if you haven't already. Let's stand and pray. Father, I thank you for your love for us and that you've made a way for all of us sinners to be healed and cleansed and washed of our filth, rejection of you and sins against you and man that has really earned us a place in hell to be separated from you, but you've made a way for us to be made righteous in your eyes by giving us the righteousness of your Son, Jesus, if we just trust in him. And then you offer to change our hearts so that we have a desire to do what you want us to do and to live for you, to live in obedience to you. And God, I pray for your people, Lord, the true church, that we would stay fundamental on your truths until the end. So that we could be spared, as you promise, it appears in the Philippian church example, that you'll spare us from the hour that is coming to this earth to test the inhabitants of the earth, that we could be with you instead. In Jesus' name, amen.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of your mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Here's the Lamb. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of your mercy and love are at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy.
means the Lamb of God, which is Jesus. You know, John the Baptist saw Jesus the first time and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And we worship him because he is holy and he's given us holiness. He's made us saints in the sight of God. So the day we do go be with him by rapture or by death, he's going to say, "Welcome in, you knew my son, and you have been made blemishless in my sight, and spend eternity in my fellowship," is what God's going to say to all those who love him. I pray you do. God bless you. If you have any questions, come on up for prayer and discussion. And may the Lord bless your week as you serve him in his power. God bless.